So, hello, my name is Brendan Ogle. I'm from the Virginia Department of Health, and my presentation today is on the economic and social conditions and how they're related to our life duration. So, how long are we going to live? I really want to know. Also, how old will we be when our health runs out? So life expectancy estimates provide a foundation for a lot of really important and interesting questions, like where do people live long lives, and should I move there? And also you can combine with other environmental data to answer different questions like how long are people living with disabilities, or what other environmental conditions are people living in? What's their environment? What's their social structure like too? And the biggest question is there anything we can do about it? So here's Virginia. So I wanted to highlight a few areas. So this is South Virginia. You can see you can use life expectancy estimates for targeting. So you can see I did this by census tract. And you can see in Southwest Virginia, you know, a lighter color is not very good. There's not a lot going on down there. Let's see. And here's Washington, D.C. You can tell it's very green. It's very, you know, high life expectancy up there. And you can notice in the Southwest, so that's up in the mountain area, and you can see there's kind of there are very healthy looking, you know, people who live a long life next to census tracts that don't live a very long life. You might say, what's going on in these areas? I actually asked the health district director, can you explain why some places are so high? And she said, well, I don't know. There's no fast food out there. Perhaps that's it. They have homes with very nice little homes with nice little gardens. Perhaps that's it. I don't know. We'll see. We still have to ask. So one of the other things that I think are really important to do is to ignite our community partners. So we can get this data, but how can we transition and use that to ignite community partners to make such a change? We can use, you know, identifying vulnerable areas or health inequities. Let's see, I need to make sure I go the right direction. So I wanted to just briefly go through, you know, real high-level methodology on how to calculate it. So first of all, for life expectancy, imagine a hypothetical birth cohort of 100,000 people. So you apply today's death rate to those 100,000 people by age group. So you can see that graph on the bottom is just the mortality per age group. So when you do that, you can identify for each age group what's the probability that you're going to die, and also how many years you're going to live in the, how many years are left of this 100,000 in the following, the subsequent age groups. So in the for example, in the first, it's the first age group is 0 to 1. 98% of the infants in this particular area survive. So that means that, you know, that amount of years will live to the next for all of the subsequent age groups. So then, for each age group, starting at birth, you add together all of the years left for all of the other age groups. And to calculate life expectancy, you have that bunch of years divided by the number of people that are left that are still alive in that age group, and that's how you get life expectancy. And so Tom already mentioned the CEFO tool, and we have other tools that I think Amy might mention in her presentation, the guide, our scale guide. So I wanted to move on and give you guys an example. So this is a close-up of Richmond. So you can see I highlighted each of the numbers is the life expectancy estimate for a tract, and the ones that are large are the ones I'll talk about. So the 84, which is in a darker green color, they have a life expectancy of 84. This is what Richmonders call the fan. Giant boulevards, massive statues. It's a large Victorian, the largest area that has Victorian homes, I think, in the United States in one big stretch. It's a very fancy place. Just south of that, you can see their life expectancy is 84. Just across the street, Main Street, much more less expensive apartments, and their life expectancy is 74. Now, if you look east, there's a housing project called Gilpin Court. You can imagine that over there, you know, there the residents have 15 years fewer of life than the residents of the fan. But you can also, it's one good thing knowing how long a person we estimate might live. But also, the interesting thing, I think, is how different types of people experience different life expectancies. So you can imagine the people in Gilpin Court have different income, education, or other social demographics than those in the fan. So what I did next is model the social demographics and the outcome variable is life expectancy. So I wanted to see which social demographics covariate or were the main regressors for life expectancy. So some of the ones I used were education, affordability, air quality, population density, and so on. So the all the social determinants of health that I used were univariately associated with life expectancy. So, but in a multivariate linear regression model, the ones that were most strongly associated were years of schooling, no-brainer there, right? Lower proportion of the community's income spent on housing and transportation. So that's affordability. How much is left that you're not spending on your home or moving around? Better air quality and higher population density. So those four determinants were half of the variation in the model for life expectancy, kind of a lot. Now, I did a geographically weighted regression, and it showed, though, that education was so spatially autocorrelated that one state model couldn't describe what was going on everywhere in the state. So the solution was regional estimates. So that is what I had to do next. GIS is good sometimes. Sometimes it gives you bad news, you know? So anyways, so this is a graph of the proportional reduction in error for the four new regions that I calculated based on the residuals from the geographically weighted regression. So I just made up new boundaries. So I created a northern boundary that included Washington, D.C., down to Richmond, a coastal region that was Virginia Beach, something that I called the Belt Wedge. And apologize for the names. I'm terrible. Thank God my wife named our children. I mean, you know, but anyways. And a southern region that encompasses a lot. So what this chart shows is the proportional reduction in error for each of those four regions. So those are the variables that were most heavily associated, significantly associated, sorted by the amount of error they reduce in the model. So you can see across the board, average years of education was the most important variable, social determinant, in terms of reducing the error in the model for testing life expectancy. So in that belt wedge, that first column there, over 30% of the variability in the model was solved from average years of education. You can see other ones are air quality, population density. So you can see these are the ones that that greatly impacted life expectancy. And you can see the adjusted R-squares, small in the bottom, they were all over 0.4, and many of them, you know, they went as high as 0.6, 0.64. So what do we do with this information, right? It's our so what? So one of the things I mentioned before was trying to ignite community organizations. So how do we do that? You know, a lot of times we work with community organizations and coalitions with, and we want to share this data with them. But you can imagine that talking to a business coalition or a police chief might not go over so well, right? So what we wanted to do was connect our data to these non-traditional healthcare partners, non-traditional public health partners, let's say. So what we wanted to do is when you make a regression model, you've got your beta coefficients, and you already know your median or mean regressors in there. So what I did was I created a linear regression model, and I said, well, listen, you know what your current life expectancy estimate is now. Let's say if you changed average years of schooling, what can we imagine, hypothetically, your life expectancy might be? So this isn't, I wouldn't say this is for a scientific audience, but it's for communities to try to tell a story. If you change something, you know, you can make a difference. So if you reduce violence or improve air quality, it can actually make a difference in a person's life duration. So this is hot off the press. We actually haven't made it. We made this in Tableau, and we're going to put it on Tableau Public soon. So you can check the VDH. We have a new website, VDH Live Well. So I think it's livewell.vdh.gov, and it should be up there soon. Okay. Let's see. How much time do I have left? 3 minutes. All right. Very good. Very good. I'll be fast. So what's next? So I think life expectancy is an excellent tool, but I think you can take it to an even different level. So I mentioned, you know, we went through the methodology before. You might remember that one of the outcomes of actually doing the calculation is that you get the number of years of life left to live, right, for each age group. One of the things you can do is use extra data. I use mine from Census. Census, the American Community Survey, for each census tract, collects information every few years, or every year, on the number of people with a disability. And so it's a vision disability, a vision impairment, hearing impairment, life limiting impairment by age. So I use that information to calculate how many years of life a person will live without one of those disabilities. So what we're calling that is healthy life expectancy. So you take the total number of years that a person has left to live, and you multiply that times the proportion of the population in that age group that has a disability. So what you get left is the folks that have healthy years of life. So you can use that. And that's what I did here. And that those same three locations we talked about before, the life expectancy is on top, and the healthy life expectancy is on the bottom. So you can see in the fan, the healthy life expectancy was 68. So that means that they can expect to live 68 years without having some sort of impairment that they might have said or reported on the census survey. Now you can look east at Gilpin Court, 41 years. That's pretty low. I'm not 41 yet, but I know when I'm 41 that, you know, I want to be able to move around a little bit more. So, if you want to know more about this, I have a poster tomorrow downstairs in the cross-cutting section, and I'd be happy to give you a handout on it down there. But that's all I have time for today. But anyways, thank you very much, and we'll take questions at the end. Thank you.